This is Steve Maxner conducting an oral history interview with Dr. Le Caudai. We're at his hotel room in Lubbock, Texas, on the 14th of November, 1999, at 3:50 p.m. in the afternoon. Dr. Le Caudai, if you would please begin by telling us about your early life in Vietnam, where you were born, where you grew up, what your parents did, things like that.
Yes, I'm born in Sơn Tây province, so maybe 40 kilometers from west from Hanoi. My parents, my father was a teacher during the French time, and he later was graduated to become head of the department of instruction, how you call it, of a province. When the revolution broke out, August Revolution broke out, I grew up in, I grew up in Hanoi. I started my education at the school, the college, the Indochinese college for boys, because the French the college for boys separately and the college for girls separately. When I, in high school, I went to the school at that time, the Lycée Protectorat, how it, no, we call it in English, I don't know. It is Soviet Lycée in Hanoi at that time. So, I mean, Soviet Lycée run by the government at that time. I get my baccalaureate in 65. No, excuse me, in 45. In 45. So during under the French time, so one thing hurt me very much was all the topic was done in French. All the test for the baccalaureate I had to do in French. At that time I have to pass two foreign languages. The first was English and the second was Vietnamese. So French was considered as my mother tongue, while Vietnamese is considered as a foreign language. For this very reason, that when they start the revolution, when I was 17 years old, we immediately joined the revolution. During the First French War, because the shortage of after the receiving the baccalaureate, I start my medical school. During the French War, because the shortage of medical workers, so the army mobilized all the students to join the army. So I start to join the army in 1948. And I became head of the department medical department of a regiment during all the war against French. I participated in several campaigns, the campaign of the borderline between Vietnam, Cambodia, Vietnam and China, and later the campaign in the Delta of the Tonkin Delta and the northwest and southwest, and the last was the Mattan Dien Bien Phu.
Wow. Now, excuse me. What did you get your bachelor degree and your baccalaureate degree?
I got a baccalaureate degree in 1949.
Okay, and what subject was it in? Was it general arts or
in
science?
It was in mathematics, in mathematics, in science. So, after the French War, I graduated from the medical school and became head of the department of surgery. Of toxic surgery of the hospital 108. It was the main hospital, military hospital in Hanoi. Yes. I worked there until 66, when started the second Indochina war against America. I'm asked to direct an hospital in the south. I went to the south in 66. I stayed there until 74. Only after the Paris Agreement, I'm asked to return to Hanoi. And I continued to work as a surgeon in the army until 83. Asked my demobilization, and I started working with what's called the 1080 Committee, which was a committee to study the consequences of the chemical use during the Vietnam War. In 1995, I moved to the Red Cross, and I work for the fund to study, the fund to support Asian Orange with him.
Okay.
So, in short, my bibliography.
Wow.
During my my service time in the South, during this 8 year of, you know, when I was director of hospital in the South, I wrote, after the war, not only in 1996, I wrote a memoir of the life I had in the South. It was published in 1996, and some people are trying to translate it into English. I received an award of literature for this book, and my friend in Boston translated only the first chapter. He submitted to some publisher in New York, but until now, there is no answer yet. I don't know exactly if Wimba Chung continue to translate it, or he is waiting for an answer from the publisher to finish, to continue to the translation.
Let me ask you to clarify a couple of points about your experiences. I guess you must have been in college at the Lycee,
yes,
at the time that the Second World War was occurring, from
yes,
1940 to 1945.
Yes.
The Japanese occupation of Vietnam, what did you and your family think about that? And the notion of a pan-Asian, an Asia for Asians, the Japanese desires to try to remove Europeans from Asia and remove the French from French Indochina, from Vietnam. And did you think that the Japanese were friendly to Vietnamese, unfriendly? What did you think?
Oh, since the first month of the occupation of Japanese in Indochina, they came first to the north of Vietnam. You realize that they didn't come to liberate us. And after that, a few years, they are so cruel, I must tell you, our feeling and the feeling of our family. I saw them, they asked our people, our farmer, to remove the rice, and to plant in place the plant they call at the time cây đay, không biết là nói tiếng Anh là gì.
Yeah.
Cây đay, nó bắt dòng đay Nhật, bắt nhỏ cái lúa lên để trồng đay mà đay.
Đay là cây kinaf.
See.
It's
some
industrial. That some kinds of the tree they use to make it the covert of the rice pack.
Yes.
Called as a kinaf.
Yes.
Yeah, kinaf.
All the place, and this led the famine. 2 million people were starved to death in 1945, in late 1944, and the the first month of 45. And it was very, 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 very sad and very, very, how to call it, it make us very angry, make us very angry, all my family, I must tell you that. Even though my father, at the French time, my father is considered as belonging to a class having some privilege. I don't explain very well my English. Privilege class. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, but we are very, very angry against Japanese and to their art. And in our family never think that Japanese could come to America. Mm-hmm. So, as the first moment of Vietnam, my father had some sympathy, and later I know the letter, because at that time I was a young boy. I know the letter that my father had contributed to the movement between. And at that time, because his secretary was also a revolutionary, but I know it, but later only after the revolution. And maybe for this reason, my father was fairly sympathetic with the movement, revolutionary movement, and he contributed to something to the Vietnam.
Now, after the Second World War ended, mm-hmm. and Ho Chi Minh and the Viet Minh emerged as a powerful political force in Vietnam, did your family support him at that time and support his bid for for power and establishing a separate government and removal of the French?
Yes. Even though after the revolution, my father, because he was a functionary from French time, he had been, how to call it, he was in the Hunan province, and he was put in jail with several high-ranking officers in Hunan. So we are also very upset with that. But after the war in French, my father and all my family, our family is a big family. My father had in total 11 boys and girls, 11 children. Mm-hmm. So all my family joined go to the library area. Mm-hmm. And after one or two years, when the French launched a big attack in the north part of Vietnam, in the mountainous part of Vietnam, my father decided that all the boys would stay in the liberated area to join the fighting against French. But all the girls went to Hanoi, because my sister at that time was very, very, very young. All the girls went to Hanoi to continue their education and to avoid the fighting.
Okay.
And since that time, my family was split into two. The boy went to the war, and the girl went to Hanoi. And my sister grew up in Hanoi. They get married, and after the liberation, after the French, after Dien Bien Phu, when the North Vietnam was liberated, my sister followed her husband to go to the south. So my family was split into two parts. And after the second Indochina War, after the liberation in 1975, my sister and my elder sister and my younger sister went one to Australia. And so my family is almost split into two. So I had now two sisters in Los Angeles. She lives there. I will be visiting them after this trip.
Okay. That's wonderful.
Wonderful. Even though I have on nephew somewhere in Texas, but I don't know where
he
is.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I don't know exactly.
Okay.
His place.
Now, when it became apparent in 1946 that the French were coming back and they were going to recolonize Vietnam and they were going to stay in Vietnam, and Ho Chi Minh made his famous Declaration of Vietnamese Independence. He made the Declaration of Independence and announced it.
Yes.
Where was your family at that particular time? And were you were all in the north, or part? Were you right there in the center of Vietnam?
All in the north Vietnam.
All in the north Vietnam. Okay.
My family grew up, myself grew up in Hanoi, but my family was original in Bac Ninh, so 30 kilometers far from Hanoi.
Okay,
so
very close to
when the start of the war, all family moved to Bac Ninh, and we lived there for the first 1-2 years, when after the war started.
Okay.
And in 1947, and after the decision of my father to send my sister to Hanoi, he worked to join my eldest brother. At the moment, he is head of the department of the department of communication. Mm-hmm. Yes, in Yen Bai. He came there and lived with his eldest son, whereas all of us joined differently. I, myself, joined the army, and as our brother, my brother joined also the Department of Communication. My young brother continued his education, and he became later a professor of mathematics in high school in Hanoi, okay. In the college in Hanoi.
Okay. When the announcement was made, the Vietnamese Declaration of Independence, when Ho Chi Minh announced it, a number of historians have looked back at that and seen it as Ho Chi Minh, it very much looks like the American Declaration of Independence. It's very close.
Yes.
And so some historians have said that this was a message from Ho Chi Minh, that he was trying to get the United States to support independence for Vietnam. Mm. What did you and your family think of the United States at that time, and did you see us as a potential friend and ally to try to remove the French?
We, concerning the United States, at that time, the feeling of our family, as well as in many in my Asia, we had an admiration, and we would like very much that Americans can do something to support us, to push the French, or something like that.
Okay.
It was the declaration of Ho Chi Minh. I believe that it is was also a message to be sent to the United States at that time. But unfortunately, nothing happened, and the United States supports the French first. And support the South government later.
Yes. Now, during the French Indochina War, you were in the army, and you were already a physician. Mm. You were a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You said you worked in three principal areas in during the French Indochina War, three principal campaigns. Could you describe them for me, the campaigns?
I was the head of the medical department of a regiment, and this regiment belonged to a division. The division, it was Division 3-0, I don't know if you had ever heard about this division, is the most powerful division in our army at that time. Mm-hmm. And between 49 to 74, our army launched several campaigns. The first big campaign was to liberate the borderline between China and Vietnam in 1949. And the second campaign was we call the campaign of what we call it, Trung Du là gì anh nhỉ?
Trung Du là
vâng cái chiến dịch Trung Du.
Trung Du là the center or the central. Cái miền Trung Du của Bắc Việt.
Trung Du Bắc Việt.
Trung Du, this is the center of the north part.
Yes, just this is a part.
I can show you. Show me the map.
Yes, yes.
This is the central part of the north.
Yes. So all my division keep moving around.
Yes, that's one. Is this is the central of the north.
The first campaign was between Cao Bằng and Lạng Sơn. The second campaign was here, surrounding the almost delta, but it was in Phú Yên. The big campaign was in this area, is northwest of the area. Excuse me, is now northeast of the delta, and the fourth campaign was to liberate this southeast area, and my regiment went up to Sam Nua, to liberate Sam Nua, went to Sam Nua somewhere here. Yes. And Sam Nua, and this was, and the fifth campaign was the campaign of the Delta, surrounding Ningbing. Okay, somewhere here. Yes. So, and the last campaign was the Chinese invasion. So,
northwest.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during these campaigns during the French Indochina War, let me take a step back first. The medical training you received. Mm-hmm. Where did you receive most of your medical training? And what was the focus of it? Was it on surgery and...
I'm focusing on surgery, on war surgery.
On war surgery.
On war surgery. Mm-hmm. I recognized that at that time it was only on the third grade of Mexican school, so I'm not very good surgeon at all. I just provide primary health care to the wounded people on the regiment level. And after that, I have to take them mm-hmm. to the higher levels, to hospital, the field hospital, mm-hmm. where there are better physicians working it.
I see.
Yes. So I just do the primary health care to them, and provide them.
What kinds of equipment did you use?
For equipment, very very simple equipment, receivers. I had an equipment provided with Chinese, yes. Because after the liberation of the borderline, we have the supply from China for equipment as well for medicine and surgical equipment. So it was a small box of.
And this was from China?
Yes, from China. Mm-hmm. And very simple. I operate under the light of my bicycle, mm-hmm. and so it was used also during the second right. Indochina War.
How did you sanitize yourself and your clothing to do surgery to cut people open? You want to, of course, keep yourself as
yes,
clean as
yes,
possible. How would you sanitize yourself?
Yes,
just water.
Yes,
soap and water.
Also, we had the equipment to sterilize.
Okay.
Yes. But simple, very simple.
Boiling water.
Boiling water. Mm-hmm. And also we have some tube and autoclave to sterilize.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you focus on using, I guess, what we would call Western medicine, or did you also use different herbs and different medicinals that were kind of...
No.
Regional or?
No, I didn't use traditional medicine at that time. Most of our medicines are Western medicine.
Okay.
To make anesthesia, mm-hmm. I'm using also antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
and several Western medicine. Mm-hmm. Partly was provided by the Chinese side, but partly was bought from Hanoi.
Okay.
There are they can. Very few Russian machine was used at that time.
Okay. What was your primary means of anesthetizing your patients? Was
it was ether. Mm-hmm. And later the drug we injected in the, how you call it, yes, anesthetic, intravenous anesthetic anesthetic.
Sodium pentothal or?
Something.
Okay.
I lost for a long time.
I'm just curious from a
chloroform as well. You're using also chloroform. Air chloroform,
okay.
And nesdonan, pentotan for you.
Okay. What were the worst types of wounds that you had to cope with as a physician, a battlefield physician?
Several, all kind of wounds. But at that time, the first time in during the campaign of the area surrounding Hanoi.
Mm-hmm.
So first time the French used napalm bomb.
Napalm
bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Provided by Americans.
Yes.
And it was terrifying for us, terrifying.
Yeah.
I saw the first time was so terrible bugs and very, very difficult to treat.
How would you treat them? How would you treat napalm burns?
Almost by, you cannot do the rough, the skin rough at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We almost have to put a bandage to cover the bandage,
mm-hmm.
and try to rehabilitate them,
mm-hmm.
by fluids,
mm-hmm.
and that's all.
Okay.
And I have to send them to the hospital, the field hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were later sent to China, mm-hmm. to be treated over there.
Mm-hmm. When they started using napalm, what did you think of that? And how did it affect you in terms of your opinion of the French and your opinion of the war?
I believe that it was a very, 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 very terrible weapons,
mm-hmm.
and unhumanitarian weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So did it increase your resolve to keep on fighting? Did it scare you? You said it was very scary. Yes. How did it affect you psychologically?
For the first campaign, we were surprised.
Okay.
But later, our soldier learned how to avoid the burning,
mm-hmm.
and our medical staff also learned more how to solve those problems. The first time was very quite frightening.
Yes. Were there any other weapons used that were particularly difficult to treat, the wounds that resulted from those particular weapons, or?
During French War, I don't think
there are.
But later, they are using also a kind of, they call the bomb. If it hit back also, but the phosphorus bomb.
Oh, white
the
phosphorus.
Phosphorus bomb.
Yes.
Yes. Continue to keep to burn.
Right.
Yes, it was also very, very unusual weapons.
Mm-hmm. What were the things you needed most running a field hospital? As far as what things were you short of? Bandages.
Especially of. Antibiotics. All kind of medicine. Must organize during French time.
Mm-hmm.
you are in shortage.
Mm-hmm. Was that the thing that you were short of the most? Medicine?
Medicine, yes.
And you never turned to alternative or traditional medicines to help replace them, or?
No, maybe that they are used in some field hospital. Mm-hmm. Some field hospital, they are using it. But in our hospital, primarily we didn't use it. Okay. But only later, during Second National War, I started to use some traditional medicine.
Were there any particular battles that stick out in your memory that were very hard, that you had to help, you were helping so many soldiers that were wounded?
The first campaign, which were very happy with, was the campaign on the borderline between China and Vietnam.
Okay.
In this campaign, we are able to liberate all the borderline. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a big campaign and a big victory as well. But as a campaign, we received the most many patients was campaign in the Delta. Mm-hmm. The Delta. Mm-hmm. Yes, many. We are almost submerged by patients. Wow. It came so many patients came. So.
Did you ever feel overwhelmed? There was too much, too many to cope with? How did it affect you psychologically when you were coping with that kind
but,
of situation?
But at that time, it came only for a very short time. Okay. Because I'm a regimen. I didn't take care for a very long time.
I see.
So I'm so much overwhelmed. For maybe a few days only.
I see.
After that, we carry them to the funeral, to the hospital, and it became normal. Yes.
How many people worked in your field hospital?
Oh, in field hospital, about 200-300 staff members. But in my own regiment, department of regiment, I had only 30 people.
Were there, is there anything else that sticks in your mind as far as your experiences during the French Indochina War? Any other important experiences?
No, it seems at that time we were quite enthusiastic with the war.
Yes.
Because after each operation is so, the victory came very clearly. Because we liberated the lands, we saw a lot of prisoner of war, many French was captured, and our troops, our soldiers, our army grew up very quickly. We had only one division, and after 2 or 3 years, it developed into 4 or 5 divisions. Fight against French.
Okay.
So we are quite very enthusiastic, and we are almost sure that we would get the final victory. Yeah.
During the war, I've read a lot of the documents and public statements and letters and things like that by Ho Chi Minh and Giap and I guess even Lê Duẩn and Phan Van Khai. They were all very active politically in trying to foster political support and trying to, I guess, they wrote lots of letters and speeches that were delivered to the soldiers. Do you remember hearing the speeches that Ho Chi Minh and Giap and other politicians published during the war? Did they reach you at your hospital?
Yes. Many speeches from Giap mm-hmm. and many letter from him mm-hmm. Before each campaign mm-hmm. Reach us, and after each campaign in general you have a meeting of officer to talk experiences from to throw the experiences from the campaign mm-hmm. and many times she came to those meetings mm-hmm. and speak to us, and even during the campaign of the World Line mm-hmm. Ho Chi Minh came to the campaign mm-hmm. and he even met with prisoner of war, French prisoner, but he was disguised. How you know it?
Mm-hmm. Disguised.
Disguised. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. He be a mushua mm-hmm. to hide mm-hmm. his barb. Mm-hmm. His barb. Mm-hmm. It's quite characteristic of Ho Chi Minh. This was his barb.
Yes.
So he put. And he disguised himself. Mm-hmm. And he met some prisoner and asked them about the war.
Wow. Did you ever meet him? Did he come to your hospital?
No. Yeah. But I met them in some meeting. He came in some meeting. Mm-hmm. And after, in we had also some political course mm-hmm. At that time. And Ho Chi Minh came to talk to people mm-hmm. during this course.
Okay. Did they, with these speeches and political statements, did they help motivate you? Did they help you?
Yeah, sure.
With the war?
This speech motivated us very much.
Okay.
Very much.
Okay. So when the war ended after Dien Bien Phu, after mm. the Battle of Dien Bien Phu, and the political settlement that occurs, the Geneva Accords, 1954. What did you and your family think of those, of the accords
at
that were signed?
At first, we hope that the agreement could be accepted by both sides. Mm-hmm. And according to this agreement, the reunification of the country must be done after 2 years.
Yes.
But after 2 years, nothing happens. So many people in Dauphinam became quite angry, because almost all the families were split into two parts. And maybe after 6 months or 1 year, my parents received just a card like this from my sister in the south. Mm-hmm. They allowed her to write in a small card. Mm-hmm. My elder sister, when she wanted to write a letter to us, he had to send to French, mm-hmm. to some family member who live in France. And from France, they had to send to Hanoi. So the separation of the country was very, very, get us very upset, mm-hmm. very, very upset. Mm-hmm. Everybody, I must realize, maybe except in the countryside where the family farmer was so simple before, they didn't pay attention very much to it. But in our intellectual families and the families who has their member mm-hmm. went to the south, suffer for it very much.
In that period between 1954 and 1956, mm. a lot happened in Vietnam. Mm. The decision of the United States to support President Diem,
yeah.
The movement, the mass exodus of Catholics from North Vietnam to South Vietnam, that massive migration. Mm. And then, of course, the decision of the United States to support Diem, not to have national elections.
Mm.
Now, the accusation that was made, that's been made, is that the reason why the United States and Ngo Dinh Diem did not go for the elections, the 1956 national elections, to reunify the country, was because they said, and they think, that it wouldn't have been a fair election in North Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
That Ho Chi Minh and the Communist Party so controlled politics and the elections that there would not be a fair or free election. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that statement, that accusation?
There is part of truth of this accusation. But if the election was done at that moment, I'm sure that Sadat Vietnam in gain the revolution. Even in South Vietnam. Because even in South Vietnam, I think that most people in South Vietnam support Ho Chi Minh. Mm-hmm. I do believe that. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people in the cities is very support Ho Chi Minh. But most of people in Vietnam support Ho Chi Minh.
Okay.
I strongly believe that. Mm-hmm. Even a fair election to be done. But it was clear that if the election was done, would not be clear, a fair election. But even though the Ho Chi Minh gained the popularity is but one thing happened. Maybe you know the reform area.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the reform area is, in my opinion, is a big mistake.
The land reform.
The land reform, isn't it? The land reform was a big mistake.
Wow.
You follow exactly the thing which was done by China, and it was not a good thing for Vietnamese, because in our country, I believe that the order of land was not so different from the farmer. They are very close. And sometimes they are family member between the owner and the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very big mistake.
Well, they in-
and maybe the Communist Party lost its popularity because it's a land reform.
Mm-hmm.
Even though after that, he recognized the mistake,
mm-hmm.
and officially recognized mistake, and Chung Ching has to resign, and so on. And another reform came to power. But I do believe that it was a retest mistake we committed during wartime.
Okay. Were there any other mistakes early on when North Vietnam was trying to establish itself and get organized?
I don't believe so. I don't think so. Maybe, but later, after the war, and we look back, maybe some first decision to destroy the cities,
okay.
According to the experience of the Soviet Union during the 19th century, you know, until when Russia was invaded by Napoleon,
mm-hmm.
and Sokolov or someone, the head of the army of the Russian at that time,
mm-hmm.
his name I didn't know.
Sokolov
mm-hmm. decided to retire and do the no man's land
mm-hmm.
before the march of Napoleon army.
Mm-hmm.
They were right at that time because they were waiting in winter, and winter in Russia is terrible for the French army
right.
to launch the counterattack.
Mm-hmm.
They were right. But in our country in 45, when, in my own opinion,
mm-hmm.
when they decided to destroy the cities,
mm-hmm.
it was wrong because we make many, many time to rebuild the city later.
Now, what did you think of the role of Catholics, or the effects of the Catholic exodus to the South, and what was your religious affiliation? Were you Were you Buddhist or?
I'm Buddhist.
Okay. Are you
not Buddhist? Not exactly Buddhist in the meaning. That I'm never almost never go to pagoda, but in a family. Yeah, it's a family. There is a culture of the ancestor. So it belongs to Buddhism. I don't think that the massive evacuation of Catholics to the South get any problems, in my feeling, get any problems to our people. Certainly, we are sorry, so sorry that people leave. But economically or politically, I don't think that it gets some difficulties to our side.
Was Ho Chi Minh or the Communist Party ever a threat to the Catholics, or were they ever hostile to Catholics or any religion that you're aware of?
I don't think so. But because the French used some bombs, how we call it, the Catholic bombs, something like that.
Okay.
The leader of the Catholics.
Okay, the priests. No,
the priest, yes, the priest to organize some troops to fight against us.
Okay.
It led to before we haven't no discrimination between, in my feeling, no discrimination between Catholic and Buddhist, but only after the priest has organized some group that there is something unusual. Even though those troops didn't fight very well before, when in our campaign is Red River Delta, you know, Many troops of Catholic troops flew away before our soldiers. So they maybe military speaking, I don't think they get some strength to the French.
When President Ngo Dinh Diem took over South Vietnam, and with his family, his brother Nu, Madam Nu lived in the presidential palace. They very closely knit family. A number of his brothers were heads of provinces and areas of South Vietnam. How did you and your family and your contemporaries in the military, how did you view the Diem government? Did you see it as any kind of popular government, or was it to you an autocracy? What did you think of that government that developed after 1954?
I don't know if the is a feeling of the population in North Vietnam. Ngo Dinh Diem was an administrator under Bao Dai.
Mm-hmm.
And all the administrators of the ancien regime was not loved by the population in general. So when Ngo Dinh Diem returned and established his government, we never trusted him. We considered them as a fantoche for. And also Bao Dai himself. Bao Dai himself had a time. They had some when he resigned after the revolution, and when he came to Hanoi, he had some sympathy from the population. I must recognize that in 1946, when Bao Dai started to resign and came to Hanoi as a consented to the government. He gained some sympathy from the some population. Mm-hmm. But when he flew away to Hong Kong and flew away, he lost all the credibility. He lost all credibility. Mm-hmm. And so also the same from the Malaysia. I don't think that people in North Vietnam like it. No, I don't think so. But only much later, mm-hmm. much later, after the war, mm-hmm. when I met people in the South and I know more about the Malaysia, his family, that he himself, he resists against the U.S. He must maybe have some patriotic people, maybe some patriotic people, but he never had a good feeling from people. I don't think so.
Okay. Now, politically, Ngo Dinh Diem tried to create this image that he was running South Vietnam like the United States was run. You had free market capitalism in South Vietnam. You had some democratic activity, some elections. Although he does after 1956, he did cancel village elections and started making a lot of appointments. But he obviously tried to make himself look like the United States wanted him to look. On the other side, Ho Chi Minh and the role of communism. Was Ho Chi Minh a communist first or a nationalist first? And was communism just a way of getting support from China and the Soviet Union?
I believe that Ho Chi Minh was the first nationalist.
Okay.
First, his policy during the between the 40 to 45, I think it was okay, quite good. As he can reunite intellectual former officials from the ancien regime and also workers and farmers, and for this very reason that he can organize the revolution, August Revolution. But, you know, in my point of view, it seems maybe you have to look very carefully about these problems, because there are feeling in North Vietnam, some people in North Vietnam, that even the Soviet Union, Stalin, does not like Ho Chi Minh so much. Does not support Ho Chi Minh so much. He supports Chen Fu. You know Chen Fu?
Hmm.
Chen Fu was the first Secretary General of the Communist Party.
Oh, okay, yes.
And Chen Fu was, an extreme left, Rochist. His slogan was, you know, in Vietnamese, they call, we have to, there is a very, I don't know how to translate it into English, but...
How do you say it in Vietnamese?
He thinks that, he told us that, chi phu dia hao. Do you understand some sentences in Vietnam?
A little bit, but we can have Khan translate it later.
So, chi is intellectual,
mm-hmm.
Phu meaning the rich people, dia meaning the owner of land,
mm-hmm.
and hao meaning the administrative people.
Mm-hmm.
We have to destroy them,
mm-hmm.
in very simple way, to destroy all intellectual, rich, and on our lands, and they, he himself, Chen Fu, was nominated mm-hmm. to be the first general secretary. Okay. Secretary.
Yes.
On the contrary, always Ho Chi Minh called for the reunification, mm-hmm. for the reunion of the whole levels of the class of the country, to unite everybody to fight against France for the liberation of the country. It was very good policy.
Yes.
But only later, when came the reform, the land reform, so he was pushed to follow the policy of Chinese.
Okay. So he didn't necessarily want to, but in order to keep Chinese support, he would have
yes,
to?
Yes, he had to follow them. But fortunately, he stopped following the Chinese at that time, only as a step. But he didn't follow when China launched the Cultural Revolution and all those foolish problems. We didn't follow them. And I think it is a good thing for us.
Yes. Would you like to take a break?
Or yes, it's fine.
We want to keep going?
Oh, we can keep going.
It's a
minute.
Sounds good. Okay. Now, the after 1956, it became obvious there was not going to be national elections.
Mm.
And the country would not be reunified peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
How much support and how much activity do you know of or do you recall as far as agitation in the South and trying to foment revolution in the South? And when does that start to pick up Northern support for Southern revolution against CM?
I believe that you know, even after the withdrawing in 1954, the withdrawing of the force of North Vietnam to the north, even though the political mass of South Vietnam, the Communist Party in the South, are still very strong, very, very strong, especially in its countryside.
Mm-hmm.
They had very strong support from the farmer. And this is for many reasons. Because the war against France, there is already a very strong movement in the South. And only the military return, but all the political forces remain in the South. So I believe that immediately after the refusal to do the election,
mm-hmm.
immediately the movement started. I know maybe there are some support from the North to send some weapons, but later, maybe 60, 65,
mm-hmm.
maybe much later,
mm-hmm.
it's almost insignificant mm-hmm. for the South. But the movement in the South is quite very strong. The United States, as well as CM himself, cannot evaluate this strength
mm-hmm.
of the population in the South.
And these, when you say Communist Party in the South, you're talking about Southerners, South Vietnamese people,
yes.
who are from the South, live in the South.
Living in the South.
And they just stayed in their homes
yes.
after 1954,
yes.
but they remained loyal and supportive to Communists,
yes.
the Communist Party.
Sure.
Okay. And between 54 and 60, There was very little support coming from North Vietnam.
Very little,
South Vietnam.
I don't think so. Only after 1999, when it was obviously that we cannot reunify the country by an election, that we started to organize the Ho Chi Minh trial. The Ho Chi Minh trial in both sides. Ho Chi Minh trial in the soil, is borderline, is mountainous area, borderline between north and south. And also the Ho Chi Minh trial is the sea, is the ocean.
Yes.
Only after, according to the West, you know, only after 1995.
Okay.
So
okay.
Between 19, when after the revolt, how call it, the open chair, people in open chair, the revolution.
Mm-hmm. So after 1954?
Maybe it's 1958. 1958? 1958. When there is an insurrection of people from Bien Chai, where Madame Nguyen Thi Dinh, was leader in this insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Only later that we started to send some weapons to the south.
Now, in 1958, there was a lot of problems for President Diem. Actually, from after 1958 to 1963, when he's assassinated, when he's killed, he had to deal with the Buddhist uprisings, the Cao Dai sect, the Hua Hao, the Binh Xuyen, a lot of conflict in South Vietnam that Diem had to cope with. Did you hear about that when that was happening in the South? What did you get information from the South? Like, what was going on?
You are very informed on those insurrection and from the Cao Daiism, from the Buddhism, and from the. Even as a part of good Catholicism, they emerged against the Diem. Mm-hmm. Maybe because of his policy, his own policy, has upset the people. But maybe partly because of the communists, I don't know. But, it's his own policy.
Yes.
Is the major reason. I think so.
Okay. Now, when the United States decided to start advising, and the American presence increased incrementally. The United States sent a lot of support, material support, financial support, and then eventually built up to military advisors and equipment and a lot of other materials for war. By 1963, when the Diem regime is defeated and the coup occurs, how much support was coming from the North at that point down to the South to help fight against this increasing amount of support that Diem received from the United States?
Yes, I believe that at that time we started to send support to the movement in the South. But compared to the support from the United States, much, much stronger. We sent very, very small weapons. Not a big problem, you know, very difficult, very long traffic, very long line, and very difficult communication coming from the north to the south.
So the Ho Chi Minh Trail, in 1963, 1964, wasn't very big.
Was not. They are walking for walking people only.
Mm-hmm. It's a path, so, a footpath.
No possibility for car to run at that time. Yeah. Only when I came in 1966, we started to have the car going from the north to the. But
it was in 1966 that vehicle traffic started.
Start, but very difficult, and I can give an example of my own hospital. Mm-hmm. When I start to go to the south, I am asked to organize an hospital to go to the south. I have to organize the hospital. So I have no idea about how it work in the south at that time. Mm-hmm. I told in my book, in my memory, only two people told me the exact situation. One was my boss. He was when I left was enough. I am vice director. My boss was director. He was four times. He went four times from during the French War. He was a doctor in Quangnam, Guangxi. Yes, he was a doctor. He had the medical the medical staff somewhere here, and he had four times going to the Hanoi and return and go and back four times. He knew the world, the place. He told me when we're leaving, so prepare yourself to have the life of Robinson Crusoe. And he is the only people who knows the right. He told me the truth.
Robinson Crusoe.
Crusoe, yes. If the only difference that Robinson Crusoe was alone, whereas we have Sanjay B. But Robinson Crusoe had only to earn his own living peacefully in Iceland, isolated Iceland. Mm-hmm. But here you have to treat patients, you have to construct our own house, you have to plant to have food, you have to do the hunting to have meat, and we are surrounded by bombing everywhere. Mm-hmm. When I came to the place, I prepared to come to the place, I took the example of the hospitals in North Vietnam at that time. Mm-hmm. I bring everything I believe that was necessary to found an hospital in the south. Mm-hmm. So all our equipment was put into 1,000 box. Mm-hmm. But when I came first, they provided to me to the commandeer of the hospitals, the boss of the hospital. We are provided with two or car to go from the north to the south. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of the road, when I came to this place, I only went from Hanoi to pass Bombay. I came to the, I was doing well, the 19 about, somewhere here. I have to go by, to go, keep walking. I have to left the car, and the car run alone to the place. Whereas we had to walk. It gave me 1 month to go to the place to here. And all the equipment, you know, arrived only 1 year later. But when it started, it was 1,000 box. It came only 100. It lost 90% along the road. And those 100 box contains many things we didn't want. For example, there came a big lamp for Sushik, and you know, the big lamp of maybe 12 or 15 bulb like this for Sushik. It weighed maybe 200 kilograms. Even we have no place to put this lamp because everything is in bamboo. It's so heavy. It would crash on the house. And we had no power to to use this lamp. Mm-hmm. So it came to us some fish there also, some fish there. Mm-hmm. But it was fish there which run by electricity. It had no electricity at all. Mm-hmm. It came to me, maybe one box filled with clothes for children, as there are no children in this place. Even mountainous people, very hard mountainous people live in the place. You have to walk maybe one day long to get one small hamlet of mountainous people. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2 to 3 families, they live very separately.
It's a very isolated, not
very
a lot.
Isolated completely from the north and from mm-hmm. all parts of the country, mm-hmm. surrounded by bombs and everything.
Now, 1965, when the United States, when there's the Gulf of Tonkin incident,
yes.
1964, when there's the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the United States decides to bomb Vietnam, mm-hmm. and the war really picks up speed. The United States starts sending soldiers in 1965. What did you think of the bombing and all the incidents that occurred in 1964 leading up to the beginning of the war?
At that time, it was the surgeon in the hospital of 1 week. So when they start bombing, I'm asked to flew in helicopter. The first time I flew in a helicopter, mm-hmm. to go to Halong Bay, mm. to rescue some wounded people over there. And when I return from this trip, I am asked to go to Tenghua. Have an idea about the places, mm-hmm. provinces. Mm-hmm. I asked Tenghua to rescue another wounded people over there. Mm-hmm. All the feeling of people in North Vietnam was quite upset. And this mobilized us to go to the South.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It did.
All our people are mobilized to move to go to the south, mm-hmm. to reunify this country. Mm-hmm. So people are very enthusiastic when they are asked to go to the south. Even though at that time I didn't know how long will you stay there. Mm-hmm. I remind one, as the 10th of this year, it was in 66, as the 10th, yes. I still stay in Hanoi. Mm-hmm. Only after maybe a few days after the attack, we started to leave Hanoi. But during the attack, a close friend to me, he is also a member of my hospital, came to my home with his wife. His wife asked me, how long do you both be and her husband intend to stay in the south? I answered to him, I decide to go there only for 6 months. I will be back after 6 months. Oh, so she start to cry. I'm astonished why she cry. She told me, and my husband, he told to me that he will be stay there for 1 year. 1 year. Mm-hmm. I told my wife to go for 6 months. I came back only 8 years later, mm-hmm. and my friend, who turned to her wife, is that he will be back after 1 year. He never returned. He died in the place. Nobody was understand how long the war will last. Mm-hmm. I must recognize that when we prepared to go to the south, it was between 65 and 66. The government of Saigon fall after the fall of the Guernsey, mm-hmm. fall maybe mensually. Each government last maybe a few months and
yes.
fall. So this give us the feeling that the victory would be very, very, very easy. Mm-hmm. But I must recognize that the massive intervention of USA has strengthened the government in South Vietnam and has made the war much longer, much, much longer.
So in 1966, you were asked to organize this field, your field hospital, which was an underground military hospital.
At the time, I didn't know that you would be underground.
You didn't know?
Yes. Because at that time, according to the official declaration, we have two-thirds of the land was liberated. Only one-third was occupied. I didn't understand that would be in underground. And our commander, I asked later that he himself never had been in the south. Mm-hmm. The commander of the army at that time. He promised to us that we will be for you in hospital in the south with running water. And because I'm a section of toxic section, mm-hmm. I'm really need to have oxygen to do the anesthesia and everything for wounded people. It's a drug. They promised to send to me a factory to produce oxygen. But at that time, nobody, the only reason for which I didn't accept is this factory, because this factory can produce maybe several hundreds of obvious, how you call it? The containers of oxygen.
The canisters? Or?
No, the oxygen. The obvious, you call in French, it is obvious oxygen. It look like an obvious.
Okay.
Yes. It can produce maybe hundreds of similar cylinders to contain oxygen. But I need maybe one or two cylinders. And how? Using the remaining. So only for this reason I didn't accept.
It's too much.
I didn't understand I would be have to work on the underground hospital.
And you, it became an underground hospital because of the bombing and the napalming?
Becoming the bombing, mostly the bombing.
Mostly bombing?
Not exactly underground, because at first you have to split my hospitals very, very, to disperse my hospitals. So if it happened a bombing, no many people would be wounded. And the rule was, each house must contain up to 6 people, no more than that. And each house must be far away from the another, at least 50 meters. 50 meters. So my hospital was 1,000 bed hospital. 1,000 bed hospital.
Wow.
It was dispersed in a very large area of forest. If I wanted to go from one part to the beginning and to the end of my hospital, it would take me maybe two days to walk.
Wow.
It was dispersed.
But that was very wise. So
yes.
So that if one area was bombed, not many.
Yes, would not be bombed.
Yes.
So each for each house, we have to dig a hole, and have to keep. If we sit inside the house, our head must be lower than the level of the soil, surrounding soil. So if you are a bomb explode on an artillery, an obvious explode close to my home, I would not be damaged. I have enough time to run to you call it a shape, an A shape underground, underground, a real A shape underground, covered by soil.
Yes.
But in general, we live under the trees. But below the levels of the soil.
Were there problems with not just artillery, but aerial bombardment, planes?
Bombardment, artillery. And artillery, you have, the U.S. Army had an artillery, they call the high-speed artillery. So, in general, you can hear the starting point, hear the noise. When they start, the artillery. And after that, the obus came to us. The second noise would be close to us. Mm-hmm. But the high speed, we didn't hear the first fire. Mm-hmm. But just the obus came to us. Mm-hmm. We call it the high speed obus. I don't know how we call it, but it's terrible.
It hit you before you heard.
Yes, it hit us before it hurt.
Wow, that's fast. Well, the size of your hospital in terms of staff, how big was it? You say you have 1,000 beds. How many nurses and doctors?
In total, at first when I came, I had 450.
Okay.
But later we diminish our staff. We have to diminish our staff to 350, about. Between 350 and 450.
When was that? What year? About what year was that? That you had a smaller.
Because the shortage of food.
Shortage of food.
We have to diminish. We had very big shortage of food. I almost had no rice for almost 8 years. I ate mostly banyak. Manioc, you know what's manioc?
No, what is that?
Manioc is a plant whose root
is very long. Oh, manioc. Yes, yes, manioc.
Manioc.
Yes.
Manioc.
Yes, I know what it is.
We'll almost eat manioc. So, you can put some rice in it, but the part of rice is very small.
Mostly manioc.
Mostly manioc. Only have rice only in holidays, in death, and so on.
Wow.
And only, in principle, the supply of rice is only for the patient. The staff had to plan himself to provide the yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, every 3 people, we have to plant 2 hectares of banyak or rice in average.
Mm-hmm.
So each year for my hospital, the most large field I had to plant. I have to plant almost 300 hectares of manioc and vegetable and many things you have to describe this.
So
I had my book, if you can read Vietnamese, I can send the book to you.
I can't read it well enough yet. I'm working on it though.
But my friends.
Yes,
my friends
in Boston.
Who's in Boston? He told me, he's a Vietnamese, he told me that if Americans want why they lost the war, they should read your book.
why we lost the war, we should read your book.
Yes.
Does he say anything in particular in your book that's so revealing?
I describe mostly the life of my hospital, but also the life of the general, the army in general.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the supplying and everything that happened to us at that time.
Now, you didn't receive many supplies from the north?
Very few.
From the army, from Pat?
But, no, I received the medicine.
So you received medical supply?
Medical supply. Not only from the north, but you can buy stuff from Phnom Penh.
You bought from the south?
Yeah, no, not by sense. There is a service of supply. A service of supply of the whole, we call it is a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
The highland was called war zone.
Mm-hmm.
The war zone, they had a department of supply.
Okay.
And they went to Phnom Penh, they sold partly of rice came from Phnom Penh,
mm-hmm.
but not sufficient.
Were you able to buy American medical supplies that were on the black market?
No. I don't think so. They buy everything from Phnom Penh. So after the withdrawing of of Sihanouk by London. They get between these doors. But, you know, in 1969, when Sihanouk was withdrawn by Lennon, we sent a regiment to Cambodia. We sent a regiment. And in 2 months, our regiment pushed Lennon, elaborate almost the whole part of Cambodia. And only at that time, the Pol Pot received it. Yes. We saw Pol Pot from the beginning. I kept the place. Pol Pot and Yang Seri and his clique. He organized also a rear. Their rear was close to us. But they had nothing. They had nothing. And they get difficulties to us because we must be friendly with Sihanouk. And Pol Pot fight against Sihanouk and get in a very difficult condition. But, you know the history, the three countries had was of same Communist Party. And after the organization of the Communist Party of each country, the leader of the Cambodian Party was Sen Ngoc Minh. He was very, an own people, very friendly to Ho Chi Minh and very good friends of Ho Chi Minh. He know nothing about Sihanouk and about Pol Pot and Yang Seri. But because they belong to the Communist Party, so we have, as fast in 1969, when I came to the place, when they are sick, they are sent to my hospital to be treated. Many times my people had to come to their place to treat him and their family.
Pol Pot?
Pol Pot is their family. And many times, when they came to the north, to Hanoi, Sekoming was at that time in China. He was old and sick. She lived sometimes in China. So sometimes he had to go to Hanoi. By the Ho Chi Minh trial, we have to send my physicians, my nurses to accompany and take care of them to China. After London, after the liberation by the overthrow by London, one regiment from our battalion, Warsaw, was sent to liberate, to help liberating this part. Only 2 months we have, we are able to push the London on this borderline in Thailand. At first, and after liberation, we give the power to support them. And it's the other very reason they start to get difficulties to us. They limit the traffic, our traffic, to Phnom Penh, to buy things from Phnom Penh. They limit us. They attack our warehouse. We have a warehouse inside the forest. And they kill the Vietnamese people who live in Cambodia, and they help us to do the supply. They start to get with these doors.
And this was in 1968, 69?
68, 69, 70, 71. And this moment, I must recognize that it was a very big mistake from Hanoi. Everything we had, I know, because in 1970, I was asked to return to Hanoi to assist a meeting in Hanoi. Had a meeting in Hanoi for 2 months. Just for 1 month in Hanoi, and after I have to return to the civilian. I was recommended by the commander of the warehouse to inform that there are something wrong with the Pol Pot. But they they didn't trust us. They believe that it is maybe some small part of Pol Pot who were wrong, not Pol Pot himself in Shenzhen. But only later, after the liberation of Vietnam, you know, they start to attack us, they move, they, how you call it, they push away all the population of Dongping, out of Dongping. They start to attack our country, and so on. And only then, maybe our leaders recognize their mistake.
Yes. Someone's at your door. So 1966, you start your hospital. 67, you finally receive your equipment because you had to leave it to get to the hospital area.
Yes.
What were the biggest problems that you encountered in running this hospital?
Oh, many, many big problems. Mm-hmm. At that time, I have to do maybe four major problems. To run four major problems. First, to have food and vegetable, because at first when I came, we had even no vegetable. We have to took vegetable from the forest, and because too many soldiers, so even in the forest, you have not enough from the forest, so we have to plant ourselves. And so the first objective of my a hospital is to earn the living for us, for all our staff and partly to our people, patients. Mm-hmm. The second thing we have to do is to do the transportation, because even though the war zone, I mean the commandeer of war zone, mm-hmm. provided to us some food, we have to go to take it from the old house and back to our hospitals. Mm-hmm. Nobody take us. So, in some time, one third of our staff went to do the transportation of food and transportation of wounded people also from the levels before us to us. So the second time, second thing you have to do. The third thing you have to do is do the fighting to protect ourselves. Because all the war zone was so disseminated, mm-hmm. and all the soldiers and the soldier was occupied to do the fighting. Nobody protect us. You have to protect us by ourselves. And the U.S., and the Chinese regime drop very often small staff they call commando. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they drop this commando by helicopter, mm-hmm. Mostly by helicopter. So we have to defend our land. The fourth objective. We have to build ourselves all the tunnel, all the house, and so on. And only the fifth problem, we have to treat the people. So we have solved five problems, five martial problems, mm-hmm. by our own people, our own staff through that.
Now the fighting. Did you ever have to fight against
yes.
Arvin and American forces?
Yes.
Wow.
Because, you know, I met maybe a few months ago, I met one American people who belong to the team for the search of MIA.
Mm-hmm.
MIA.
Yes.
They came to my office in Hanoi. Mm-hmm. Because before coming to me, he has many, many people I know that many people in my staff was asked by him to know about the news on the MIA. Mm-hmm. And he came to me. He asked me about MIA. But he started by asking me, have you ever in your hospital you receive some wounded or a sick prisoner, mm-hmm. American prisoner? Mm-hmm. In fact, because my hospital is the only hospital in the place, so prisoner, American prisoner, and the Sudanese prisoner, when they are sick, when they are wounded, they are sent to a hospital to be treated. And second question he asked me, have you ever someone died in the hospital? In fact, there were one or two, not many, but maybe one or two died in hospital. He asked me about his name, was his black or white or everything. I know, I cannot remember, it was so long time. But later, I was surprised because he speak fluently Vietnamese. I asked him, where did you learn Vietnamese? Why? In Savannah. And where did you surf in Savannah? Your commando team. And then he informed me later, I was dropped in your hospital in 1970.
Wow.
It's very funny. Mm-hmm. So I shook his hand and tell him, oh, he's very happy that I met you only today, 20 years after the war. Mm-hmm. If I met you in 1970, maybe you became MIA or my son would become MIA.
Wow.
So, Sikomoro is a very a real war, mm-hmm. I mean, because they do the, how to call it, the information. She collects the information in other place, mm-hmm. because she cannot see very clearly from the air.
Yes.
So she drop, and all those commando always there are only some Chinese people and one or two or three Americans, mostly for liaison, for communication, if planned, if helicopter. So in a place when I move to, I have to put a man in the top of a big trees. You have to make a shell for him, mm-hmm. to go there, a post for him to stay there, and look around. If he heard the noise of a helicopter, and he had a telephone line to my place, mm-hmm. and they hear a helicopter somewhere around, so he had to inform me where he saw the helicopter. Does he look the land or not? If he never knows, see exactly where the helicopter mm-hmm. lands. Mm-hmm. But if it approaching to land, so he has to inform me. I have to direct a team also, maybe 10, 12 people, to go to the place to find. If they met American or the US side, mm-hmm. the most job is to fire and make them uprise, mm-hmm. push them away, just not to push them away.
Okay.
And in fact, when they are discovered, immediately, maybe 15 minutes later, there are many, many fight, how to call it, the aircraft who are fighter, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. fighter came around. They are make bombing and around, very violent battle. Mm-hmm. And after that, helicopter came and drop a rope, a long rope, because they fear to land, because they can be hit by our people.
Yes.
So they just stay on the top of the trees and drop a rope to the people to around. Mm-hmm. And the precipital is a hurry to rise up. Many times I saw a rope with 4 or 5 people balancing like this.
Wow.
There. Mm-hmm. And many times we saw also some sadhya across to the trees. When they rush to rise up, some people are across to the branches of the trees and drop again and died.
Now, the people that you sent out to meet the commandos, would you send just men, or men and women? Or?
No, or just men.
Just men.
Always I have to organize a team of Sadhya to defense us. Always men. I have very few women now. At first, when it came, we had 80 women for 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
But later, they become smaller, so the size becomes smaller.
Did women perform admirably? They performed well when they were working with
yes.
you?
Yes. They do everything men can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very brave women, very brave people.
Mm-hmm. Now, for the tenure that you were in South Vietnam, in that area around the tri-border between Cambodia, Laos, and South Vietnam, what were the most horrible experiences as far as American bombardments? Was it just artillery and bombing, small bombing? Did you ever have an arc light?
The most horrible was the B-52.
The B-52 bombing? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you did have that happen to you.
Oh, many times.
Really?
Wow. And it's strange that the B-52... When they mostly bomb at night, I don't know why.
Hmm.
Maybe because time is more quiet at night, I don't know. And they always came very regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So we are surprised only for the two first raid.
Hmm.
When after the first raid, I look at my watch to see. And the second raid, which if it happened, after half an hour, for example,
mm-hmm.
so all the night, exactly half an hour, arrived a second raid. If it happened after 45 minutes, exactly 45 minutes, I don't know why. Maybe because the air base is somewhere in Thailand or in Guam. At first it was in Guam.
Mm-hmm.
At first, you are in Guam, so they came very regularly,
mm-hmm.
exactly. So it became familiar with
mm-hmm.
those raids.
Mm-hmm.
We have to hide ourselves when the raid came. But after the bombing, we hear the bomb far away, approaching to me, and then it was in the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Then going far away, so
mm-hmm.
I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing is not the direct bombing, but the indirect,
mm-hmm.
because the soil covers the tunnel,
mm-hmm.
and people died from because covered by soil, and so because some bomb. Explode close to you,
mm-hmm.
and a big soil mm-hmm. came and covered your tenant.
Mm-hmm.
So after each bombing, we have to get out of the tunnel and ask and call the next tenant.
Mm-hmm.
You had to call the tenant, are you still alive? If he is called, okay, so. You can relax.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't answer, so I have to come to rescue them
mm-hmm.
by trying to use pioche, how you call it?
Shovels?
Yes. and to try to rescue them. Mm-hmm. But while rescuing them, you have to watch my watch. Mm-hmm. If the rat was for half an hour, so after 25 minutes, I have to call them, rush back to your tunnel. So we have to rush back to our tunnel and close our... It was a way to avoid, because sometimes they kill not by the shrill, but by the soil's trembling.
Mm-hmm. The trembling.
The trembling
of percussion.
The, how you call it?
The percussion. It would pop your ears or...
You have a way to stay there. And not to take our back against the wall of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You can be killed because by trembling. It was called the crush.
Mm-hmm.
The crush is mm-hmm. something. The crush injury is something like that.
Wow.
Not exactly by the... Only the trembling
mm-hmm.
of the soil can kill you.
Wow.
And after the bombing, people return to the house
mm-hmm.
and go urinate or talk funny stories and so on and so on and waiting for the second to rest. And you keep going all the night long.
Wow.
All the night long.
How often would that happen? How many?
It happened to us maybe 3 or 4 times.
Three or four times the whole war?
The whole war. Not very often.
No, that's not... Fortunately.
Fortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but I'm sure those 3 or 4 times were very frightening.
Yes, frightening. Yes, sure, frightening.
Now, did they ever drop napalm in your area?
Yes. After the spraying. And after the spraying of...
Agent Orange?
Of Agent Orange, they dropped napalm. And this get to more... Dioxin, to more dioxin. But at that time, they didn't know that. They bombarded exactly to my hospital only twice time.
Mm-hmm.
The first time when I was doing the operation,
mm-hmm.
they came and a fighter. First, an aircraft who do the reconnaissance,
mm-hmm.
who do the...
Yes.
Housing, who do you call reconnaissance?
An observation aircraft?
Observation, yes.
Mm-hmm.
An observation aircraft came,
mm-hmm.
they dropped first a smoke grenade, mm-hmm. how do you call it?
Mm-hmm. Smoke grenade.
At the time I'm operating in the operation room. It was in 1969. My operation, because to avoid the humidity, at first we bend our operation room upside the soil, over the soil and the soil. So always the operation room to avoid the humidity and to avoid the insect and so on,
mm-hmm.
to keep acidity. And he had the first grenade.
Mm-hmm.
I have no experience with that. Till to that moment,
mm-hmm.
I haven't no experience. But the doctor who helped me during the operation, he know, they will be bombing us very soon.
Mm.
So, in fact, a few minutes later, a fighter there came, bomb with was left, bomb was right. But we are operating. My, it was an operation on the belly, so belly was open.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot run away. I have to put a piece of the serviette, how you call it, the shell operator, you call it the shell operator, inside the belly.
Mm-hmm.
But the next time when I saw outside, I saw initially, it was an apple, so afar, very close to us, So I decide we have to move into Sutanal, and I have to put my hand with glove inside to keep it's a sin not flow out. And four or five people surrounding me. They keep all the operation table, mm-hmm. and the wounded people and the patient to run to the underground. And when we are in the underground, they keep firing to the place.
Mm-hmm. Now you didn't have your building marked as a hospital. Did you? There wasn't like a Red Cross or...
No.
There was no marking distinguishing
No. You would be very dangerous if you put a mark. You would be more dangerous than hiding yourself. Mm-hmm. It's the first time. The second time they attacked our place was in 1968 or 60. At that time, our men was able to shut down a helicopter. I came to the I had a photo. It's mm-hmm. beside the helicopter. You don't shut down mm-hmm. Helicopter. But when I came to see the helicopter, it was not destroyed at all. They are landing, maybe to take some man from the ground. Mm-hmm. And our man shut. And when I came to the place, I saw only a small hole of some bullet, mm-hmm. A gun, mm-hmm. Going from downstairs to upstairs, mm-hmm. and maybe it hit an electricity wire or something like that, mm-hmm. because that is quite okay. But he landed to the soil. But the pilot and everybody was evacuated by another helicopter.
So this helicopter only had the one hole going.
Yes,
up
only
the
one hole. From
wow.
And
so you have a picture of yourself with it.
Yes, I had a picture. Oh, wow. I sent a letter to my hospital. Is to put the picture into a museum or something. I don't know if it still remains there or not.
Now, did what kind of weapons did you have to help you?
Only
fight?
Only the AK.
AK-47s? That was it?
Yes, it's AK.
No RPGs, rocket propelled grenade, RPG, or anything like that?
No. Well, much later, I had
no bigger machine guns.
No. Only AK. Wow. Mostly AK.
Wow. And that's how you shot down, that's how she shot down the helicopter?
Mm-hmm.
With an AK?
Yes, AK.
Wow. What other equipment shortages did you have with this hospital? You mentioned, of course, in the French Indochina War that you had shortages of medicine, in particular, and bandages. Did you have the same kinds of shortages during the American War?
At first, when I came to the base, when our equipment didn't come, mm-hmm. my men has to do themselves some equipment
mm-hmm.
for first year, almost for first year. I cannot work at that time.
Mm-hmm.
My men went to gather the unexploded bomb mm-hmm. to have some metal, mm-hmm. some metal, and from those metal, and also some plane, some crash plane
mm-hmm.
is forest to have some metal from the crash plane to make the thing to for sterilization,
mm-hmm.
the box for mm-hmm. sterilization,
mm-hmm.
to make small pins,
mm-hmm.
and you have to do that plan the first year. But for this first year, all the staff, the doctor, we have to go to other hospital mm-hmm. in Watson to Hang Seng, because we are best doctor coming from Hanoi. Mm-hmm. So we went to Hang Seng to teach them to do something, and at the same time to love their experience. Our first year, I cannot open my mouth. Only after receiving the equipment coming from Hanoi, we can start our hospital.
Now, what units did you you supported all of the units that were fighting in
yes.
the south?
Yes, not only. Only the war zone unit.
Only the war zone units.
The South Vietnam was divided into several war zones.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
Yes.
So your hospital operated in
yes.
this area here?
In this area.
Mm-hmm.
It is called War Zone Highland. The Highland War Zone.
Mm-hmm.
It is called War Zone Highland.
Mm-hmm.
And this part was called the Fifth War Zone.
Mm-hmm.
The Fifth War Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Before I came, the War Zone Highland belonged to the Fifth War Zone.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, they divided. And they had a commandment separately to the Fifth War Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And the War Zone going from the 17th parallel, where
mm-hmm.
it is,
mm-hmm.
from
right
the 17th parallel mm-hmm. to this area.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the War Zone Binh-Chi-Tien, mm-hmm. Binh-Chi-Tien War Zone.
So your hospital took care of the units that fought in this
only
area?
Only this War Zone.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there are wounded people who are evacuated from the south
mm-hmm.
to the north.
Mm-hmm.
They pass through our zone and they stay for a few days. So.
Mm-hmm. And also, you're in the prime area of traffic coming through the Ho Chi Minh Trail. So if people needed to be transported up
yes.
this way, they'd come straight into your war
yes.
zone.
Yes, sure.
And that's where they would go for help.
Yes.
Okay. And let's see.
And
this is the only area. This is the area you worked in for 8 years. You worked here for
yes,
8 years.
Yes, we're just working.
Mm-hmm.
We keep moving mm-hmm. sometime
mm-hmm.
to
up
north,
and down.
Down, up and down
mm-hmm.
the Russia's area. And most of the time we live is borderline. And in fact, in the field of Cambodia,
mm-hmm.
because it's safer over there.
The Agent Orange, when that was first started to be used by Americans, how long was it until you started to see some of the effects that that was having when they were using the
polio? I saw the first spring operation while we are going to the place.
Mm-hmm.
When we are going on the top of the mountains of the colin. I saw the first plane operation with three aircraft. At first, they flew very, very high in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
When they approached the place, it was maybe 1 or 2 kilometers on my left side. So they flew very close to the top of the trees. And they rush very quickly
mm-hmm.
and push a cloudy smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I had been on source two or three times sprayed over my head.
Mm.
It came a small rain,
mm-hmm.
a small broom, we call it brown broom. It was small. Smell of chemical.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what kind of chemical it was. But at first, we were so afraid. We took out a piece of needle. Every Sunday we went to the war, is provide you a piece of nylon
mm-hmm.
To protect during the night.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop at night. So we have to cover ourselves with piece of needle. And some people went to take a bath into the stream.
Mm-hmm.
And to protect our nose. But at first, it seems quite not so nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
Only 1 or 2 days later, the leaves start to fall.
Mm-hmm.
But later, when we know better about this problem, I recognize that there is a sharp increase of malaria.
Malaria.
I thought you didn't really know that. But when I talk with the people who were in the place before I came, so there are people who, there are soldiers who fight in the place since 1963, 64. 64 started to have a battalion fighting in the area. So they told to me that before those operations, those spring operations, there were malaria, but not so severe like now. It was very, very severe malaria. Most of the people who died in my hospital were from malaria, not from the bombing. Maybe sometime 70 to 80% of our patients were sick from medical problems, not from surgical, not from the wound. Only the wound occupy only 20 to 30%
So,
1,000 people
mm-hmm.
who are admitted to my hospital.
So about 20 to 30% were war wounds.
From war wounds.
Bullets, shrapnel.
Bullets and so on.
Stuff.
And
the rest were ill.
The rest were sickness. I didn't recognize that it is due to the chemicals or due to several other causes. I don't know. But what I know is that it was a very severe increase of malaria between 66 and 69. And when after 69, in 1970, 71, the rate start to fall, fall down. So later, much later, I believe that maybe it is due to the immune deficiency. Which happened to our people. And we started to see several people with a severe diarrhea. Very severe diarrhea. I never saw it in Hanoi.
Dysentery?
Dysentery, yeah. But we had they resist to all my medicine. No medicine can treat them. They had diarrhea until they died. Many died from malaria. And I had to make an autopsy of some people who died from this kind of malaria. I saw their intestine was so thin, similar to the piece of you wrapped sausage. Similar to that. We have no muscular, no layer of the inside layer, and the muscular layer is almost thrown away. Only the serous layer remains. And many people has perforation of the intestine after due to the. It was frightening.
Any and other?
Many other problems. For example, the lack of vitamin A leading to blindness.
Yeah.
Vitamin A. There are hundreds of people. But maybe it is linked to the lack of vegetables, something like that. I don't think it is due to orange, but and the lack of vitamin B1 or so. Many people died from a brusque paralysis. Many people, well, there is a story telling that a team of soldiers who went in is a forest. The first soldier hit a root of the tree and fall. Mm-hmm. The second hit the first, fall over the first, and the third fall over the, and all the three died.
All three soldiers died?
Yes, all three people died. And many people drop while they are eating, for example. Mm-hmm. They are using their stick, sharp stick. Mm-hmm. They drop, paralyzed, because of shortage of vitamin A. I had operated autopsy some people with similar problems. Mm-hmm. I saw their heart very lush and very thin.
And this was caused by deficiency of vitamin B?
I believe that.
Of B1?
Because after that, I had enough vitamin B and give to everybody mm-hmm. of the war zone, mm-hmm. and so things didn't happen anymore.
Were there any other major problems with the diseases other than the malaria and dysentery, like yellow fever, cholera?
Cholera, no.
No cholera?
Dengue fever, no. But one kind of fever, it was believed also a kind of pernicious access of malaria. Mm. Many cases of pernicious access. Mm. Many people died from this. Pernicious access, mm-hmm. but on a special kind of access, believe also to lead to malaria, it was the fever with hemoglobinuria, mm-hmm. the black urine fever, you know, mm-hmm. the urine is black, become black.
The urine becomes black.
Yes,
black urine fever.
Black, hmm. black urine fever. Many people die from this.
Now, you said pernicious, what was it?
Pernicious malaria.
Pernicious malaria.
Pernicious malaria. She became unconscious, comatose, high fever, mm-hmm. with comatose.
And then death.
And death.
Wow. And what about plague? Any incidents of bubonic plague?
Excuse me?
Bubonic plague? Plague?
Plague?
Mm-hmm.
What's the plague?
Black death, the swelling of the lymph nodes, black buboes?
No,
none of that?
I didn't have a serious. Mm-hmm. But the bumpy had also severe problems. Mm-hmm. You know the bumpy?
I'm sorry?
The bumpy. It is a kind of bomb. They throw away small piece of metal, mm-hmm. like a
bill. Cluster bombs. The cluster bombs that had the beans?
A small mm-hmm. piece of bean. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it hit the hole. It was very small, mm-hmm. quite small. But it can enter here, but it can get out in another place, very far away from,
wow.
from mm-hmm. entering. And if it hits the belly, it can get to several mm-hmm. holes into the intestine.
Mm-hmm. Now these were the small canisters that would explode.
Yes, all this kind mm-hmm. of explode.
Mm-hmm. And the small little like
small maybe hundred of uh-huh. when is a similar bomb mm-hmm. Is dropped close to you, you certainly you are hit. Because hundreds of small. Be
yes.
like this,
yes.
can yeah. hit you.
Cluster bomb units.
And also the landmine, you know, when they came first to the place, mm-hmm. they teach me, the officer who was in the place of very long time mm-hmm. before I came, they teach me that if you ever step on a landmine, keep your feet quiet. The landmine will explode, mm-hmm. but it would cut only a piece of your feet. But if you remove your feet, the land would jump and explode and cut you into parts.
The bouncing belly.
The first lesson they gave to me.
Did you ever
No, I never have a similar accident, but
People in your unit, yes. though, in your hospital, did they ever encounter those?
No.
No, that's good.
Fortunately, yeah. they didn't put those spines on my place. As far away as the rear, maybe.
Uh-huh. So you never had any landmine incidents, then?
Nobody on my own hospital had problems with landmine. Yeah. But personally, who went through war.
Yes.
All very sophisticated, very terrible landmine. The landmine who throw the small, very thin, how you call it?
Wire?
Wire, to certain part. Mm-hmm. And if you run, and you hit to this wire, it explodes.
Yes.
And also, the landmine is called the magnetism landmine. It explodes when there is something metallic came close to you.
Yes.
They put it in the car, the road of car.
Yes. Were those? Did you have a lot of soldiers coming up from the south and in your region that you have to treat for injuries from those types of weapons?
Yes, I have to treat them. Mm-hmm. I have to treat them, and because you are close to the to the car, when the Hoshmin trial developed south. So in 74, 75, after I left the car, the auto car, auto route came close to our hospital.
Okay.
And similar problems happened.
Now, in your hospital, where your hospital was, you said you were isolated, not very close to villages.
No.
So,
you know, the villages of the place was very, very, very few people, only mountaineers. You know, they are the mountaineers who had the habit of to cut their teeth. Mm-hmm. You know, so mountaineers, all their teeth are cut until the racine of the teeth. Mm-hmm. And they had tatouage on their face.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very, very arriere. You know, they didn't use money.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't used money. For a year, you didn't use money.
Wow.
Just changing, to do exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I can change a shirt to have some manioc, or some maize piece, or you have to change your trouser for a chicken. And later, when I receive several, how call it?
Watches.
Watch. Because in the first year, I publish a magazine every three months. I had a magazine, a newspaper, but in which we put our experiences.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So every 3 months I had to give the experience of to everybody in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And all those were sent to the North, and it was reunited and published in the North. So when I came on the 1970, I received some money for a award from our publication.
Wow.
I have to take some money back to my man, but I know that useless money is useless in my place. So I bought maybe 1 dozen or maybe some couple dozen of wash to take the place,
mm-hmm.
to exchange for mountaineers,
mm-hmm.
to have some chicken from picked rice.
Mm-hmm.
But to my surprise, when my some man I asked to take the wash to exchange for some mountaineers people, he came back and he tell me that they didn't accept our wash. I asked him, why they didn't accept? Because the wash cannot catch fish. I'm very surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the wash cannot catch fish? Because they wanted to wear the wash while going to the stream,
mm-hmm.
to the river to catch the fish.
Mm-hmm.
If they put the wash on the river, on the side of the river, maybe someone can steal. So they have to wear the wash and to go to, mm-hmm. to catch. And the wash was not waterproof. It was Russian, not waterproof. And they are so clever. That's even so though they have...
They knew that the watches were waterproof.
Waterproof.
Wow. And they were Russian? Russian watches?
Yes, it was Russian watch. So funny.
So what...
As it became malicious,
mm-hmm.
When they are in contact with our senior, mm-hmm. One day when I came to exchange a trousseau to have a chicken, the lady gave me a small chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't happy with. I asked that to her. I want this chicken. The bigger chicken. But she answered me, oh, this one will become bigger. They are malicious.
It will become after you feed it. After you feed it. Wow.
Oh, funny story.
That is.
I can tell you my story for maybe 1 week.
What other, look, what other one sticks out in your mind? Other funny stories? Anything else?
Many, many funny stories.
Well, what, you bring up the Russian watches.
Yes.
Was there a lot of other stuff that you were getting from the Soviet Union, from Russia, later in the war? Or?
Maybe only, only two supplies. Only some bitchin and only bitchin and I have to choose watches because they light,
mm-hmm.
to carry. It's a heavy people, mm-hmm. a heavy thing. Cannot carry it to the place.
Mm-hmm.
So Russia, the camion, all the car come from Russia.
The cars.
The car.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all the car come
trucks.
From Russia. Trucks maybe. Mm-hmm. And also maybe heavy weapons, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe so heavy.
And were you getting many supplies from China during the American War?
Oh, yes, from China.
Mm-hmm.
From China, from several parts. And we bought it, buy it
mm-hmm.
from Dubai.
Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a lot of, even to the end, you left, when did you leave the hospital? In 1974?
It was 1973. 73.
Okay.
After the Arima of Paris. After the Paris Arima,
okay.
Where
after
they stopped
Paris.
Bombing,
right.
Bombing
mm-hmm.
the north.
Mm-hmm.
And so, only then, maybe a few months later.
So, March, April,
no,
sometime in the spring?
In June. I received the decision on June or July, mm-hmm. because it was the rainy season.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The rainy season. Okay. I have to return on the rainy season.
So even as late as that, even 73, June of 73, you did not receive at your hospital a lot of supplies from China, from Russia?
No.
Wow.
Even then.
Wow. Now
because the priority for the transportation was mm-hmm. for ammunition,
okay.
for weapons.
Yeah.
For weapons.
Let me ask you a specific question about Tet Mao Tan, 1968.
Yes.
What did how aware were you of what was happening in your hospital, and what did you think of Tet Mao Tan?
Tet Mao Tan, I received the I know about the attack
mm-hmm.
only one day before it.
Mm-hmm.
And our place was quite calm because it was far away from Spartanji.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 1 month later, the wounded people started to return from Pleiku, from the attack from Pleiku in Kuntum.
Mm-hmm.
So our place is quite calm. And at that time, no plan at all. We are very happy. We had no plan. We have no to worry. And we have received the order to prepare to go ahead
mm-hmm.
closer to Pleiku
mm-hmm.
in order to receive in case we attack Pleiku, but later we didn't attack Pleiku,
mm-hmm.
only smaller attack only. Maybe Kuntum also was attacked, but we didn't. Success very much in Kuntum. Maybe we liberate only a part of the city,
mm-hmm.
and after that we have to withdraw. But we received the information through the radio.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was through the radio only.
Okay. And so you didn't have a lot of injured soldiers coming through until a month later.
Much later.
Wow.
Much later mm-hmm. when the. The wounded people was sent from the mm-hmm. south,
mm-hmm.
from the south
yeah.
to the north.
Okay.
They passed through my
yeah.
my hospital.
Okay. How many people would you estimate came through your hospital as patients? How many total from the time you started to the time you left? How many patients came through your hospital?
I mean both injured and sick people.
Mm-hmm.
In average, for each year, I receive between 8,000 to 10,000.
Okay. For each year, 8,000 to 10,000.
Yes.
So you're anywhere between about 64,000 to almost 800,000.
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
Wow.
But most of them are sick people. They are recovered and they can return to the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Only. Is insured people,
mm-hmm.
insured people, the most severely insured can have to return to the north.
Mm-hmm. Most of the people, after you treated them, they went back to their
went
units?
Went back to Spartanfield, yes.
Mm-hmm. And fought?
After the wound,
mm-hmm. How long would it usually take your patients to recover? Did it just vary from wound to wound?
Depend.
Mm-hmm.
Depend on what kind of wounds, but in general about 1 month to 1 month to 1 month in there, 1.5 and 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Some people stay for several months.
Mm-hmm.
For example, about people or people injury in the vertebra, yes,
mm-hmm.
but most severe people, most severe. Many of them died.
So, 1973, you go back. You went back to Hanoi.
Yeah, I went back to Hanoi.
And what did you do then? For the rest of the war, for the 2 years.
I went back to Hanoi. I had a rest. I have a rest of maybe 3 or 4 months. And after that, I was sent to Romania.
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 What did you do there?
To have some training for 6 months only.
medical training or?
Medical training. Mm-hmm. I went there for medical training because I am so away from the modern knowledge. So I went to Romania mm-hmm. for 6 months, 6 months. And when I received the news of the liberation of Saigon only in Romania.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Romania. So you were in Romania when in April 1975.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And after that I returned and work again in my former hospital in 1903 hospital in Hadam. Mm-hmm. 1783, mm-hmm. I asked my, I wanted to, because at that time I had an operation on my eyes. Mm-hmm. I can no longer work as a surgeon. So I asked to do the research on the vaccination around since 1984.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What, you must have been elated, happy, when you heard of the liberation of South Vietnam.
Oh, you cry a lot.
Yes.
You cry a lot. It's just so funny that the news come to us was the BBC.
Oh, really?
Yes.
BBC?
The BBC.
Okay.
At first, at that day, I finished my operation because we are very, very anxious because you know the attack mm-hmm. for almost 1 month. Mm-hmm. So, after the work in the hospital, mm-hmm. We hurry to the bibliothek of Bucharest at that time. Mm-hmm. Bucharest, where they receive newspaper from mm-hmm. French. Mm-hmm. The newspaper from another come very, very slowly. So the newspaper from French came maybe 2 to 3 days later. So I and the radio from Hanoi come from also very quick. Mm-hmm. I cannot hear very well the news from so I have to hurry. And only this morning when I finish my operation, mm-hmm. the professor who was a Romanian who with his glove, still with blood, he come and mm-hmm. embraced me mm-hmm. and told me, you are in French, they speak French, many people speak French in Romania. You have victor now, you are victorious now, mm-hmm. because they had their news from the Romania. I didn't listen to Romania mm-hmm. radio. Mm-hmm. So we rushed to the embassy, mm-hmm. and it was the time for the BBC. Mm-hmm. And we are gathering in the large amphitheater, and the first word of BBC was, the long war of Vietnam has ended this morning, and everybody cried.
Mm-hmm. After that, in 19, you're going from Budapest back to Vietnam and working on the Agent Orange victims and the problems with Agent Orange and the patients that are dealing with some of the difficulties that we think are the result of Agent Orange. Looking back, do you still think that the war was worth fighting? That everything was worth what you sacrificed?
You know, that's so many sacrifices, mm-hmm. so many sacrifices. And even now, it continuing, even now, mm-hmm. the problems of Asian Arabs. Mm-hmm. I had presented my paper maybe a few days ago at in the APHA meeting. Mm-hmm. And later I present also my paper to those NIASS, mm-hmm. and National Institute of American Health Science, we saw now that there are two categories of people. About the victims.
Yes, the Agent Orange.
Two categories of people. Mm-hmm. The people who are spread over during wartime, mm-hmm. between 61 to 71. Mm-hmm. But now we found that it still remain. Mm-hmm. Several warhouse, chemical warhouse. You know, the mm-hmm. chemical warhouse inside the former air bases. Mm-hmm. For example, in the study done by perhaps you know, study done by Hatfield Group, mm-hmm. in Alleluia Valley, mm-hmm. they were a former air base, and the soil is a former air base was up to roughly 900 ppt.
Wow.
900 ppt. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid that the Hoog air bases in Bien Hoa and in must have Israq soil, mm-hmm. much higher levels than of the Israq soil, mm-hmm. and it keep contaminated to people living surrounding it. Mm-hmm. Because my work with Arnold Schechter last March and June mm-hmm. has demonstrated that the people living close to the air warehouse mm-hmm. had now very high levels of dioxin. Mm-hmm. And those people came from the north. They were not in the south in during wartime. Mm-hmm. They came from Africa recently, mm-hmm. not after the war. Mm-hmm. And their children were born in 1880 and 1881, mm-hmm. had also elevated levels of dioxin in their blood. Mm-hmm. So it demonstrates that the contamination from the former warhouse is continuing in our people.
And are they the people who have the higher level of dioxin in their blood, in their fat tissues, do they display any particular ailments? The chloracne?
They had
soft tissue sarcomas?
No. Unfortunately, our study for health problems mm-hmm. is still very suggestive. Mm-hmm. Cannot conclude exactly. Mm-hmm. Because we are in lack of funding mm-hmm. to do a study. Mm-hmm. So, at the moment, we are not able to choose, for example, the people with suspected to have liver cancer, also to test for dioxin for these people. Mm-hmm. Because tests are so expensive. So, at the moment, we had done several epidemiology studies. Mm-hmm. But without any test, very sophisticated test, mm-hmm. so we are not able to prove exactly. But the fact, mm-hmm. the reality we saw in our people mm-hmm. suggests to us that there are many problems. Mm-hmm. Many problems have to be clear, clarified.
So you do think that the sacrifices made during the war were worth it?
Are continuing now. Are still continuing now.
Mm-hmm. But was it more? Was it too much?
No, much less than the war, certainly.
Okay.
Much less as it keep going down. Mm-hmm. For people who are probably exposed in wartime.
Right.
For two reasons. Because as they get older, mm-hmm. they died. Mm-hmm. They had no more children. Mm-hmm. No more children.
Okay.
And so rate the number of malformed children mm-hmm. may roll down. Mm-hmm. But you see now children in the second generation. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see those children.
Yes,
but it's very difficult to prove or to deny
yeah.
the relationship between right. those children and the grandfather.
What do you
many,
think?
Many things have to do.
In terms of politics and life in Vietnam after 75, what do you think of renovation, Doi Mui?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that change, that attempt to renovate the economy in Vietnam?
I think that the opening policy is quite good, mm-hmm. very good.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's helped?
Yes, it helped very much.
In
the economy of the country, as mm-hmm. well as the living standards of people, is increased very clearly. Mm-hmm. If you come to Hanoi before maybe 10 years ago, you can see all the people going by bicycle. Mm-hmm. Now, most are in motorcycle.
Yes.
Most motorcycle. Mm-hmm. You see very many new buildings. Many people has his own house. Mm-hmm. And life is much better now. Mm-hmm. Much better now. Even though there are many, still many problems.
Mm-hmm. Now, that seems different or contrary to the initial desire to create a communist state in Vietnam, because of course what I've witnessed in going to Vietnam is that many people are they're own business people. They own their own businesses.
Yes.
They own their own homes. Mm. They do own property. They're either their mopeds or their motorcycles, and sometimes cars, minivans. There's obvious private property ownership, and also, for lack of a better expression, a capitalistic nature. Mm-hmm. It's free market. People,
free
market economic activities, and it seems interesting that that's where Vietnam seems to be heading. Do you think that's the case, or it seems kind of contrary to communism?
Yes, in fact, you must recognize that. Moving to the private section mm-hmm. is growing, mm-hmm. but we need some equality, mm-hmm. equality mm-hmm. in the society.
Mm-hmm. And that's the role of the Communist Party, to help protect that equality.
I think that we must think something new about communism. No longer the former the classical communism, but maybe you have to find some new mm-hmm. new finding.
Yeah. A balance between them.
The balance, yes, mm-hmm. a balance.
I wish I could have gotten a copy of your book, and I hope it is translated so I can read it. But it raises in my mind some interesting questions. I'm sure you've read other authors, Vietnamese authors, who have written autobiographical accounts and memoirs of the Vietnam War. And I was wondering if you'd read Bao Ninh's Sorrow
Bao
Ninh,
yes.
Bao Ninh. And what do you think of his book and his portrayal?
There is many kind of people who saw the war. Mm-hmm. Some people were so sorry, were so sad about the war. Bao Ninh is. I think his story is good, mm-hmm. but he describes the war in a way so sad, mm-hmm. I think that. Mm-hmm. Other people, in other side, saw everything right. Mm-hmm. And some people saw everything black. Mm-hmm. So in my sight, I want to describe the thing as I saw it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to make it not red, mm-hmm. no black, mm-hmm. but in a just the color of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have first shot to translate, but I hope very much that the whole book can be translated. But the only problem is Mr. Chung, he wanted to be published by New York. I can publish it in Hanoi. Mm-hmm. So if I had an English version.
You could publish it in Hanoi if you had the
sure.
English version?
If I had an English version. Mm-hmm. There is a publisher in foreign languages mm-hmm. in Hanoi. Mm-hmm. And much cheaper. You can pay for it, You can pay for it and sell it again and get back the money.
Yes.
But to be published in America, I think it maybe take a long time and more difficult.
Yes.
So I just wanted to ask Chung if he kept continuing to, because there's also a group who want also, mm-hmm. maybe they are interested also for the translation.
Mm-hmm. Any other Vietnamese authors that you think do a good job of depicting the wartime experiences?
Did you read this book from Võ Nguyên Giáp?
Oh, Giáp's book on the war.
Previous war, mm-hmm. War in French time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have looked at those.
Yes, see, is it translated into? Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. We have a lot of Giáp's works translated.
It's fine.
How about post Vietnam war writers, say writing in the 1990s, people writing in the last 10 years?
It seems fairly few.
Yeah.
Only Bowning and maybe also Li Liu. Mm-hmm. Also, it was translated by mm-hmm. by Bachu. Mm-hmm. Who translated the work of Sapien?
I don't know who translated it. I don't know.
Bachu translated also the work of Li Liu, mm-hmm. but he didn't describe very much about this work.
Is there, in terms of the Agent Orange activity that you're engaged in now, is there a desire to get American support for this?
Certainly, we want very much mm-hmm. a support from, especially first moment, mm-hmm. to clean up mm-hmm. those areas. Mm-hmm. They are not so weak, maybe small, mm-hmm. small area. Mm-hmm. In each, according to my knowledge about in each air base, some air bases very very hoog air bases. Mm-hmm. For example, in Biennois, the piste mm-hmm. you call it for landing and how you call it the road to
a runway. For landing and taking off.
Yeah, taking off.
The runway.
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 Uh-huh. The runway is about 8 kilometers, it seems. Mm-hmm. In Pobien War. Mm-hmm. But the warehouse is almost maybe 1 hectare only. Mm-hmm.
So
for each, mm-hmm. for each side, maybe some couple of meter. Mm-hmm. So, and it's still very highly contaminated. Mm-hmm. So, because the to clean up it, very expensive. Mm-hmm. It would cost millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And also, it should need a very sophisticated equipment. Mm-hmm. That we are in lack of that. Mm-hmm. So we would like very much to have the help from mm-hmm. America. And it's the best way to close the doors to the past. Mm-hmm. Close the doors for us. Mm-hmm. To look at the future. Mm-hmm. Many people in our country like very much to have better relationship with
us. Yes.
USA, mm-hmm. you know the history, you know perhaps our history. Mm-hmm. For the whole history, we had only one war against mm-hmm. America. Mm-hmm. Whereas every century, we had a war with Chinese. Mm-hmm. Every century. Mm-hmm. And the best way is to have friends everywhere in this world.
That sounds like a good place to end things. You have to get ready for dinner.